Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
Let's do it live on a Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Merely Bo and Tyvis Powell joining me here at the undisclosed location on the west side of Cleveland. How you doing, buddy?
You know what? I'm doing fantastic. Anytime that I get to be with my favorite uncle.
That's right.
The man who started my media career at such a young age. You know, I give all my credit to you. All my success has come because I studied Bo Bishop for a whole offseason of my college football career.
That's right. It's fine. And I think it's appropriate that you give proper homage.
Let's stop this right now.
What? You got to give him his flowers.
I know.
The media legend.
Let me tell you something.
This was him doing himself.
This was an apex time for interns. Because I had you, and then probably the summer before, I had Holly Saunders, who ended up working at the Golf Channel and NBC Sports and hosted the U.S. Open. So that was all at the same time.
See that?
How about that?
I'm about to take off any day, Bo.
Just like that. Never know. Never know what could happen to you, my friend. Hey, before we do, we had an OTA today. It was not open to the public, and I want to get your thoughts on some of the stuff we saw yesterday, some of the comments from some of our guys. Last night, we get back from youth lacrosse, and the young NBC, my 11-year-old, not Black Cobra, he was did I tell you the story on that?
Mm-mm.
When he was like four, he loved hoops, and he's like, Dad, I think I really need a nickname. And I said, oh, okay. I said, what do you think? He goes, well, you know, Kobe's the Black Mamba.
Mm-hmm.
Can I be Black Cobra? And I said, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hell yes, you can be the Black Cobra. That's amazing. Like, what an incredible nickname. I don't know if it'll hit with you. I don't know if that's something that's going to go throughout life.
Yeah.
But at 4, 5, and 6, live with it.
Yep.
And then so, like probably 2 years ago in basketball season, he was like, you know, Dad, I don't know if Black Cobra really fits me anymore. What do you think would be a good one? And I said, not Black Cobra. So that's NBC. So we're watching the there's no hoops, you know, because he likes watching the hoops. So there's no hoops. So The Last Dance was on. I want to do a guess the stats with you and Gibby right now. Okay?
Okay.
Guess the stats. All right. First one. In the last finals Michael Jordan participated in was 1998.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did either team reach 100 points? That's Jazz Bulls 1998 NBA Finals.
I feel like once?
Twice.
Zero. Neither team reached 100 ever. And you're going to get a pattern here. How many times do you think either team reached 90?
Once.
Twice.
Dang, I should have went with you.
Twice. 90. Twice. The Bulls did it twice. 92 and like 93. Okay, here's another one for you. The Bulls won game 3 in Chicago Stadium. Mm-hmm. 92 to 57. Utah scored in the 50s in game 3.
A lot of defense.
Can't shoot, which gets us to this one. Nobody could shoot. Gets us to this one.
That's why it was my prime.
Right? Just like
right in my prime. I couldn't shoot either.
So, all right. So here's this is a fun one. Total number of 3-point shots made by both teams in the Game 6 final where Jordan hits the shot. His last shot is a Bull.
Four.
Total number
teams,
of what?
Both teams.
Threes?
Total number of threes.
Four.
Made, both teams combined.
Seven.
It was 6. Now, if I would have started with that, I'm guessing you would have went a lot higher.
Yeah, I would have.
So the Jazz went 2 for 10 from 3, and the Bulls went 4 for 10. The reason this was – and then one other –
They only took 10 shots?
Only took 10 threes.
Oh, no, that's a quarter.
Oh, Steph will do that in a half. Like,
yeah.
Okay, how many – I mean, I can't even imagine. Okay, so then that leads to this. There's a video behind the scenes in the middle of the documentary where they're preparing to play the Game 6 game out in Utah. and they're, you know, like how kids will do, I'm sure you did this when you played, like you do like half court shots to end practice or whatever, like that type of stuff.
Yep.
So the Bulls are having like this outrageous shot competition, shooting from way deep. They are at the hash, which is basically 5 feet behind the NBA line, or where Steph and Dame and about 50 other guys regularly shoot from. They are all, none of them are taking their standard jump shot. They're all having to take like a run at it, one-handed fling. Dame shoots jumpers from there. Steph shoots jumpers from there.
Yeah, it's a different game.
People have the conversation all the time about how they want to say, like when they do like Lakers, Celtics, 80s, oh, the game's changed, the game's changed. No, 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 no. This is 98. The game has changed. Steph changed everything. Everything. This isn't that long ago in comparison. It's not like going, we're not going back to Bird Magic. This is 98.
Yeah.
And they could not shoot it.
You know what's crazy is that, remember Gilbert Arenas?
Of course. He was, Agent Zero.
He started Gilbert Arenasville, where he was kind of deep, pretty much by the logo, and everybody thought he was insane.
Yep.
And now that just happens all the time.
That's just where we shoot from.
That's kind of crazy how the game has evolved like that. That everybody, you have to be able to shoot that far back now. So when
you have to.
When the guy across half court is like defense right now, or
you
it's going up.
Yeah. The best football comparison I could think of, and I do think it's just dramatic of a difference, is in that era in football, it was run game, right? It was run game defense. It was running back driven. And under center and eye formation, split backs, whatever. Now it's entirely out of the gun and we spin it everywhere.
Yeah.
That's probably the two evolutions that the two most popular sports in this country have made. Basketball has become a deep jump shooting marksmanship game, and football has become a spin it game.
Passing league.
Yeah. That's what's happened. But I never would have ever guessed that 23s were taken and six were made. In an NBA Finals game six, in 98.
Nobody
could shoot. Would they even contend with, like, how could you – you can't even compare the eras. Like, you have, like, Embiid 7-2 shooting from 23 feet and knocking him down. You got Jokic from 22 feet.
In those times, it was about your center with post moves. Like, I don't even really see a lot of post moves from our centers now.
Oh, it's no.
Drop steps, Hakeem Olajuwon doing the fakes and spins, all of that like that. You don't really see the big man do that anymore today. Mm-hmm. Every big man can shoot threes now.
Everybody goes up.
That's it. Everything is about a jump shot.
It is. Yeah. It was
They
the
might
difference.
As well put the four-point line in there and just go ahead and revolutionize the game some more.
Well, I was even thinking, like, even like the Shaq, Kobe, Lakers, how many threes did they take? Not many. It was like
Horry.
Fish and Robert Horry.
Derek Fisher.
And Rick Fox every once, but not much. They weren't taking no 23s.
What year? Let's see.
Their best team was the year they beat
Portland.
The Shaq Kobe. The one year they only lost one postseason game.
Kings.
They went sweep, 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 and they lost one game to the Sixers.
Three consecutive NBA championships. Bah, 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 bah. 2000, 2001, 2002.
Right.
Let's see. Game summaries.
Yeah, just pull any one of them up. I'm just curious, like, how many. If 5 years later, because I don't think so. I think it's a Steph thing. I think Steph changed it.
I mean, these are all like – you're starting to get into the hundreds.
Right.
Like, every game was in the 100s.
But the three-point shooting still down.
I bet it is. I bet it's not. I bet it ain't.
So that's what they don't
– like, who was – at that time, it was – well, Ray Allen came into the league as a dunker. Then he was a shooter. Reggie Miller was –
Reggie was probably the first one. So the Lakers won 4 out of 5 against the Sixers. Let's just pull one out. This is 0-1. Box score.
Finals. This is riveting.
It really is.
We're on top of it.
Why can't I get a box score? Why is this so hard?
That's what I was just trying to figure out here.
I think I got it.
Y'all ain't Googling the right thing.
There is no question.
All right, here you go. Okay, so it hadn't changed at all. Game one against Philly, the Sixers went 4 of 11 from three. Iverson actually took 8 of them in game one, and the Lakers went 6 of 13. So even in that era, it's a Steph thing. Steph flipped it. That's when the game changed. And you really can't even compare. You can't compare much at all. We had OTAs again today. This one wasn't open to the public. Yesterday's was. The value of the OTA, mm-hmm. does it depend on the player?
Yeah, it does. I mean, because, you know, some guys who miss, and it's always funny to me because it seems to be a major story when it's some big-name guy that says, I'm not coming to OTAs. Well, first of all, it's voluntary. That's one of the things. It really is voluntary, especially if it's a guy who's been, you know, around this organization for a while. No, they don't necessarily need to come to OTAs. You know what to expect out of them as long as they know the playbook. But those guys that's new to the program or – you know, and with this case, if it's a coaching change, yeah, you want to be in there because you want to see that coach's style. You want to feel that. You want to see these new guys, how they're going to adjust to the way you play so you can get that chemistry during OTAs. Mm-hmm. So that's when OTAs is pretty important. Or if it's for young guys that's trying to develop, that's trying to become something in this league, then, yes, those reps are very important.
So it's also – you know, for there are guys out there today and that are already trying to put their resume out there.
Yes.
I mean, you're seeing Bobby Vetrone and you're going, for some of these guys, man, that's my path. Mm-hmm. That's my way to the roster is mm-hmm. right there. So there's that fight for it. And I'm sure for those guys, every second that you're on the field, every second you're on a blade of grass, you're thinking, I better take full advantage of this.
Yes.
Or my football mortality is going to come in a hurry.
Yeah.
So there's that mentality, mm-hmm. right? And then there's also – so RU's situation is unique this year. New defensive coordinator, new special teams coordinator. So those things will be very different. But also, the thing with the OTAs that it's tricky is, of course the coaches and owners and everybody would want them all there.
Yes.
But this was all collectively bargained. Mm-hmm. And so this is what it is. I actually think Stefanski has a really good approach to it. We're going to coach guys who are here. Mm-hmm. We're not worried about who's not.
Yep.
And – that's about all you can do.
That's all, yeah. At the end
you know
of the
what
day,
I mean? There's not much else you can do.
It's not about spending the energy focusing on the guy that's not going to be there. You got to focus on the guy who is there because 17 games is long. It's a long season,
buddy.
And you never know what turn might happen in the season. So the guy that's out there right now that you're coaching up might be a guy that you might need. And if you can get some confidence in him and trust in him, then you know you could put him in there. You'll know he'll get the job done. So I think for those guys that's missing it, it's really allowing the younger guys or the guys that may not be high on the depth chart an opportunity to show this coaching staff that, hey, you need me on this roster. So it's a blessing in disguise for the younger guys.
It's also and you've been on some incredibly talented teams and rosters. The one you started on in Seattle, this roster – I'm not saying that we're ready to accomplish what those Seattle teams did, but this roster, mm-hmm. there aren't a lot of spots here, man.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot sorted out.
Yeah, it is. I was sitting there thinking about it the other day. Like, you could pretty much write the 53-man roster right now because the spots is pretty solidified. It's a couple of, you know, you're talking about the six wide receiver or the last corner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could argue those things. But as far as the starters, the first 22, like, I think those spots are pretty much pinned in.
I think so, too. And, you know, the last time that you and I did the show together, we were talking about, like, kind of the setup and the Jim Schwartz defense and what I was going to look for. And pretty sure we talked about this from the standpoint of felt like we needed one more.
Yep.
And then they got Za'Darius Smith
yep.
between then and now. I asked the question knowing the answer in that it makes a very big difference.
Yeah.
but is that enough or does there need to be one more? Do they need to get another veteran in the middle of the defense?
See, that's the thing. I always look at that linebacker position, and I know that's something that we don't – you know, the Cleveland Browns don't really value that much. Not saying that they don't value it, but they don't spend a ton of money there, you know. And Anthony Walker was a guy that was the voice. He was a leader. He was everything that you wanted in a linebacker. My only concern is that is the health there? You know, will he be that same guy now that he's coming off of his injury? That's the only thing. Outside of that, I think he answers the questions on can he get things done. Would I like a veteran in there just in case?
I'm saying D-tackle.
Oh, you're talking about D-tackle.
D-tackle. Right now it's
– it's Tomlinson and –
Siaki Ika. Yeah. I mean, and then behind it, it's Tommy and, you know, Jordan Elliott, like those guys.
Yeah.
But we've been waiting on them a while.
Yeah.
I think this organization is kind of – we can't wait on guys anymore.
No, we
not
can't.
In this AFC.
No, it's go. It's right now because after this season, it's a lot of contract things that you might have to get into. It's a lot of people that might be leaving because of the contract and because of the cap. So this, you have to hit it this year. You have to make sure everything is right. I like Ika and I like Tomlinson. After that, it's a bunch of we don't know, and that's
if you go to Ika, we don't know.
True. If we're going to rotate this D-line because we're all about pass rush, we're all about getting after the quarterback and being productive, you want to keep these guys fresh, I think you do have to add another guy that's proven that can definitely get something done. Because at this point, if you got a Za'Darius Smith and you got Myles Garrett on the edge, you got to have somebody in that middle that's going to get eyes. You got to
yeah. –
they have to respect
Tomlinson
this
Tomlinson can do that.
Exactly. Tomlinson will do that. We need we probably do need one more.
All right, I just pulled up the available
D tackles
free agent list that's still out there.
Give me somebody
all right,
good.
So we got a let me see, on the D line we got a Matt Ioannidis, 29.
He's a respectable guy.
You got DeJuan Smoot is still out there. Mm-hmm. Most recently with Jacksonville. You got Shelby Harris, Seattle. That's
oh, I
32.
Like I played
you
with
played
Shelby.
There, right?
Yeah, listen, Shelby is one of the best pass block pass deflectors I've ever seen in my life. His ability to match a quarterback's hand is unbelievable. I think when I was with Denver in 2019, I want to say he might have led the team in passes deflected.
Really?
Even out of corners. I think he's up there.
That's pretty good. Then it's like Corey Peters and Ndamukong Suh. Ndamukong Suh is 36 years old.
Ndamukong Suh is not coming until – he understands that he has an opportunity to win a Super Bowl with that team. So he's a late addition in the season, like week 10 or something like that.
I don't have a problem with that. I think you're probably right. He's definitely not going to be here for camp.
No.
He's not doing that.
No, you can forget that.
People forget how good he was in college.
Yeah,
he was unblockable. He was the Aaron Donald of college football.
He was a monster. He was the nastiest dude ever. I mean, what he was doing to centers at Nebraska, it was laughable.
It really was. Chris Wormley, I forgot to mention him with Pittsburgh.
Is
29.
He from Cleveland? I think
you said it relatively emphatically. I feel like
he's from Ohio. For
I feel
sure.
like it's your that's your age group
yeah.
and your wheelhouse
I
more than mine.
I want to say because he went to the team up north, right?
He did play football at the team up north.
Yes, then he is from Ohio.
Born from Toledo.
Okay, he's from Ohio.
Yeah, you knew that.
I mean, Toledo, it's an armpit, but sorry.
Can't be flame-throwing Toledo.
Toledo?
What Toledo ever do to you?
Well, you know, that's a big war right now.
20 minutes to the south, baby.
It's a war
that's
between –
that's
the only school that matters.
It's a war between Ohio and that state up there for that city.
Yeah, the
well,
Toledo Strip.
Of course, that state up north would make it about that.
Yeah, that's what it is. That was
a
big fight. They wanted the Toledo watershed. That's it. That's what they wanted. So it's right there.
Idiots.
I have spent next to no time in Toledo. I've only driven through it and around it on my way to Ann Arbor. I have no idea.
I had a brother. My brother went to college there. So
okay.
I was quite often.
Thoughts and prayers.
I actually thought about going there for a while.
Well, thank God common sense prevailed.
Who was the who offered? Who was the one who saw the light down there? In Columbus.
Tabor Johnson told Jim Tressel to send me the offer. So Jim came up to my high school, and, yeah, we had a nice conversation.
And then I'm sure it was, you know, when Urban came in, it was like whatever you were promised, you're getting all of it.
No questions asked. Yeah, absolutely not. Absolutely. You know, the thing that I respect is that he respected my commitment. He honored the commitment because after Jim Tressel, obviously I committed after Jim Tressel resigned. I committed to Luke Fickell.
Yeah.
And when Urban got the job, he honored it. He could have easily said, we pulling it. I don't think you that type of player. So I respected him for honoring my commitment, even though a year later he was telling me I might need to transfer.
Standard operating.
I believe it ended up working out well for him to keep you.
It worked out okay.
I will say this. Toledo, when I was at Bowling Green, the city, not so great.
Yeah.
It has come a long way.
Has
it?
Okay.
The city is fine. College campus that's there leaves a lot to be desired. But the city,
like the
I'm totally fine with. There's some really cool places to go and check out. And they have a nice little downtown area now.
Okay. All right. Good job out of you, Toledo. There you go.
Did he sell you on it? You going to check it out?
No.
Tony Paco's, baby.
What's that?
Why not?
That's Tony Paco's, the famous hot dog. Who's the guy from MASH that dressed up as the lady? Jamie Farr. Okay. It's Jamie Farr's place.
That's his joint?
It's like celebrity.
They sling hot dogs?
Yeah, they have the best chili dogs. And there's buns all around the walls
like
that are autographed by
Bo. It is beneath Bo.
It's not beneath me. Not that at all. He's an East Sider too. I'm not saying.
No, he lives in Columbus now.
Well, he was.
I was.
Here's what I would say.
Congratulations on all your success.
He's got a lot of it. I would say this. What is the best chili? I mean, how do you make – like a chili dog's a chili dog, honestly. Like, what's the margin here? It's not like I'm going to be like, oh, my gosh, it's game changer.
I'll tell you what.
It's a hot dog.
I don't think I've ever heard somebody say, oh, my God, I'm craving a chili dog.
Never.
My wife, me. That's why we're we do so well together.
You crave one?
Are you a Skyline?
Absolutely.
You a Skyline chili guy?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
If I'm gonna do a hot dog,
that ends poorly.
Like I don't ever want to put chili with it. I like chili independently a great deal. I don't mind a hot dog at a game. In fact, I have a hankering for one sometimes when I'm at a game. I like a hot dog.
Absolutely. I love it.
But I don't ever. I've never in my life been somebody who seeks to combine the two.
I agree with that statement, but I don't mind it. I will do it, but that's not like
with a bunch of chili, shredded cheese, and some diced up onion.
I don't even know when.
I don't. Yeah, I couldn't tell you the last time.
All right. Well, good news. We have a grill during mandatory minicamp. I'm gonna do chili dogs for everybody right here on the patio.
Isn't that something you do when it's like the weather's breaking a little bit?
Feels like it.
You can.
I mean, do you eat chili when it's in the summer?
Sure.
No,
Like I don't make it. No.
What's wrong with you?
I don't make it.
Where
but
begin?
I'm just saying, like, if I want a chili dog, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I use chili from scratch, and it's end of October to April is the window for it.
I just feel like chili dogs just don't end well.
Never does. No.
Or you can't drive with it and eat it. Like this is not something you got to sit down.
I think
and,
he's thinking. Yeah, and also like. End well.
Yeah, it's, I'm yeah. talking
well,
about.
I, yeah, yeah.
After you right. consume
go
it,
great
I don't
well
think
either.
It's...
Yeah,
you rent it. You're not yeah. keeping it. That's fine.
We have reached the final round of the new dog logo contest. Make sure to let your voice be heard.
Oh,
vote
I
for
should
your
send
favorite.
You want me to send
day.
You the picture?
Visit clevelandbrowns.com/dog logo to cast your vote. I'm guessing it's top left and bottom right from the original four. Yep, top left and bottom right.
You had that.
So I believe I had that. Here's where I am with it. Initially, I liked the one that was to the right, initially. Now.
Hold on, wait. I got to see the one to the right.
Well, you had it. I think you have it right. The one now.
Oh, you're talking about the one I just showed you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody, a lot of the one to the right is very old school style to me. Like, it's like the old dog pound type thing. And the one to the left now is like the new modern version. That's the vibe that I get from it.
Okay. I don't have a problem with it. Initially, I liked the one on the right. The one on the left was always one that was in my groupings until they put them on the gear. So they tweeted it out what they would look like on the gear. And then the one on the left,
it changes your perspective.
It ran away with it. I thought the one on the left with gear looked great. It really popped with the gear. And the one on the right just kind of looked like a blob. Like on a brown hat or an orange hat, it just kind of looked like a blob where the other one had a very distinct look to it. And by the way, I did this with my kids, all of them in separate rooms. And when there were five of them, and they all picked the one on the left.
The one on the left is like the new modern.
Yeah, my kids all went with it. It wasn't close.
But the one on the right is not bad. I do agree.
I like both of these.
I agree with the gear thing because you can't even see the eyes on the one to the right.
Did you see pull up the picture with like the on the hats and stuff?
No, I didn't see that. But
I will find it for you.
I think the one on the left to me is probably going to be the one to take away. The only one I did like is the one that was in the middle because of the CLE. On the little neck part.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the dog on it, though. Like, the teeth on it kind of was not right to me. But I think the one on the left is going to be the one that wins this thing.
Yeah. My God, we tweet so much, I can't find the – I was looking for the image, but there's been so much going on that I can't find it. But, yeah, so that's what that is. So vote – Let your voice be heard on that front. But I'm with the one on the left is where I stand at this point.
That's the one going to win.
That's the one I like. I think that looks pretty good. By the way, you know, we've talked a lot about the passing of the late, great Jim Brown. And we were talking about, you know, there will be ways where we pay homage to him. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Gibby and I were talking about, I think it was on Monday, we were talking about that was going around like the 32 on the helmet.
Yeah.
Like the black 32 on the helmet, which I think is a no-brainer.
Yeah,
like
that's definitely going to happen. I think every team, how the NBA got the six.
No, I'm talking about on the side.
Oh, like, oh!
The logo.
Oh, okay.
Like Alabama style. Like when
that.
We wear the throwbacks.
They should do that, too.
Like when we wear the throwbacks, 32 on the side
yeah.
of it. I also think, like, midfield, right?
I mean,
don't
I
don't you put block 32
would,
in the midfield?
I would. I don't know if they will. They probably going to put this new dog logo there, but he would definitely be on the side.
I mean, that's – just stick the block 32.
I like it.
Right in the middle.
I think that would be amazing to honor him in that way.
Yeah, and appropriate. So.
I just sent you those pictures. Mr. Powell and Mr. Bishop.
All right.
Should have a text coming in here in just a minute.
All right. I also, John saying
there
that.
There
okay.
It don't look.
Why, how dare you, like, try to make bad. It elite that I don't like hot dogs? Sir, I grew up on the Ponderosa. I eat stuff that make a billy goat puke.
Ponderosa.
And you're trying to shame
me. Are you getting flack?
But yeah.
You don't like chili dogs.
No, I didn't say I didn't like them. I said I've never sought one out.
You're 100% right, Bo.
You with me on the gear?
Yeah. You are 100% correct. The one on the left on the gear looks 10 times better than
yep.
the one on the right.
It does.
Yeah. Yep, that's a runaway.
Yeah, the one on the right, like you almost can't make out what it is with the gear.
For some odd reason, and not that it looks like it or it has anything to do with it, but it just reminds me of the Chicago Bears logo, and I don't know why.
The one on the right?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like when I look at it, I'm like, it looked like the Bears logo, back when they had the actual bear, not the C.
Yeah, it's the gear that separates. Also, this from John, Paco sauce isn't the same as beans and beef chili. They sell it at grocery stores. It's legit. So have you had it?
Tony Paco's?
Yeah, have you had the dog? Like
yeah.
the sauce? What is the sauce?
So,
because he's saying it's not beans and beef chili.
No, it's not. It's more of a liquid. You can buy it in grocery stores.
Does it have any meat or bean in it, or is it just
a little
liquid?
Bit, but it's definitely more, it's a
so
finely,
it's not a chili dog?
Oh, no, it's chili. It's more of a liquid chili.
See, that sounds bad for your stomach, man.
Oh, there's a lot. You should have seen what I put in it last
right.
night after golf.
How'd that go? Was it nice and warm for you out there?
Every Wednesday, man. Worst day of the week weather-wise. 3 weeks running. Worst day of the week. Always happens to be right when I'm teeing off at 6 o'clock.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm looking to get in the chili dog. Just because.
Let me know how it
goes.
I'm
going to bring you the Tony Paco's can. By the way, they come with these garlic
pickles.
Where
do you get it? You get that anywhere?
Yeah, at a grocery store. Absolutely.
I've never seen it on a shelf.
I've never heard of it.
Me either.
Well, when it comes out of the can. Okay.
Okay.
But once you get it warmed up and everything, then you're good.
Is it?
I'm not trusting that, man.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Come on, embrace it.
Are the dogs better? Like, is it a different quality of dog? Like, is it what makes
not
the dog?
Necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Yeah.
So it really just comes down to the sauce.
It comes down
everything
to the
else
sauce.
Is the same.
So yeah. it's like Cane's.
Same. That's
it's
good
the job. Sauce.
Nothing wrong
it's
with Cane's.
Sauce.
Nothing wrong.
No, the kids.
I love.
That's like cocaine for the kids. If they get that, they're on it. On it. If they see one. On it.
Who did I have on? Our new center from the Ohio State University.
Whippler
was on BPA with me, and I said,
good get out of the BPA.
Thanks. You're welcome. Listen to it. Grab it today.
Nah, I'm good.
All right. Fine.
Wow.
Hater.
Go ahead.
Don't worry. You'll hear it.
That's messed up.
Don't worry. You'll hear it. You're right. I will. I will hear it. Maybe sooner than later.
I was like, is there one thing, like, since coming to Ohio? And he's like, I know it's up here. But I haven't been up here enough yet.
Strong's.
He goes,
you got to go to Strongsville.
He goes,
Strongsville.
Cane's. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm aware of. Like, well, you don't have to tell me.
Tell
he goes,
go to the Crispy Chick.
He said, he goes, Raising Cane's is everything. But he said, I just don't, like, if I eat it too many, like, I can tell if my body, if I eat it too much.
Well, a little bit of sodium in that so that you get a little dehydrated. It's right here. There's one right here.
There's one on Bagley Road. There's one in North Olmsted. I go, dude, they're all over the place up here.
Here's what people don't realize. It's a Louisiana chain.
Really?
Locally owned, but it originated in Louisiana. Cane's did. So tied to Ohio, though, now that it feels like that it's – and I think all that is just, you know, that's that one right there on campus. You just crush.
Yeah, that's that was I spent many, many days there.
Coming back from the combine, stopped in Columbus.
That's right.
We got little Canes on the drive back.
Keep the slaw.
I agree. I agree with you.
Keep it.
Please, keep the slaw.
Give me extra Texas toast.
Yeah, toast.
I love the toast.
That slaw probably gets substituted more than it should.
I've never seen nobody crush that. No, not when you have the other options. The other thing, the only criticism I would say is don't maybe a little bit bigger
canister
on the sauce.
I get like three of them.
Well, I know, but they charge you for them. So, like, maybe give us a little bit more.
If that's the case, then they wouldn't make no money.
I think they're doing fine.
You're right. They're opening a new location every week. Anybody who only sells one item
is doing good. You're doing real good if you sell one.
Yeah.
You're killing it. It's just like In-N-Out. They're only doing burgers, man.
Listen, man.
Don't do the fries.
Don't get the fries.
No,
I'm just saying, like,
why did you bring
anybody who's only selling one is killing it.
You know how upset I am that he just brought that up.
Why?
I haven't had In-N-Out since I left San Francisco.
It's been a minute.
March. It was fantastic.
And I am upset. I miss it every day of my life.
Everything's just fresh on it. That's what it is. Yeah. Everything's sliced
you
fresh.
The lettuce
is fresh. Of course. What am I, heart of animal style? Of course. It's a mailbag. Tweet us your questions at Browns_Daily.
I feel like we've already started the mailbag.
It's in play.
Yeah.
It's our Friday. What do you want? We're going into a long weekend.
It is.
This was fun. I saw this from Bill Connolly. Top 75 college quarterbacks of all time. You know a couple of the guys who made this list.
Oh, he's already studied it. And we'll save it for later on, the man has some opinions on this
list. Got it. So we've got that. You'll hear from Jordan Akins from OTAs. As we mentioned, it is a mailbag. We'll take a look at the draft class. Obviously, some Buckeyes on this roster that Mr. Powell will have a pretty good handle on. So we'll get to all of that. We're off and running on a Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. A sports betting part of your Cleveland Browns coming. We added a new line. I see.
There are some new taglines.
There are. I wasn't prepared for that.
Yeah, throw a little wrinkle in.
There you go. Okay. Very
good. We're getting
closer. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, we'll get to that top 75 quarterback list in just a second in college football. Let's just say a little bit of a teaser for you. A name you know is at the top of it. A name you know quite well is at the top of that list. So we'll have a little fun with that.
We will.
All right, getting a lot on this Tony Pacos guy. Don saying it's a great company out of Toledo. He delivers a lot of their – it's Hungarian Sauce and Pickling Company. Oh, here it is. Tony Pacos hot dog sauce with beef. Okay.
I'm telling you.
This is from Pacos dogs are different. They're Hungarian hot dogs. They have a really nice snap when you bite them.
I've never seen
Pacos also has really good hot pickles. Oh, I've got this in my refrigerator, the hot pickle.
All right, see?
I was wondering where I've seen this logo before.
Yeah. So you do the chili and then the pickles on top.
Yeah, we've got the hot pickles. We get them up at the lake.
Yes. Yeah,
that's where it is.
Very prevalent up there.
I'm a pickle connoisseur, but
they're good. I mean,
it's like a pickle relish.
Yeah, the pickles. It's a sliced hot dill.
Yep,
is what it is. But the pickles are the legit. Yeah, we've got those in the refrigerator right now.
Yeah, you add the little chili to it, the liquid chili.
So you're gonna have one, is what you're saying?
No, I'm not having it. I have no interest in having a chili dog. It's just
hater.
I don't like the mix.
Well, hater.
He said he's gonna grill for us, so you're gonna have it eventually.
Yeah. By the way, Zagura, who is in Puerto Vallarta, has weighed in on the dog logo, and this is big news. We have a changing of the guard for him. He's been a right guy the whole time. Now, his tweet, the most influential member of this organization. I love both of these, but I'm leaning to the one on the left. Oh, baby. So he is a flip-flopper now.
Oh, well, that's a girl.
You're allowed to flip one time.
I flipped you emphatically with the look at it on the gear.
I agree.
Because you were kind of on the fence.
No, I was with the left, but I could see the right. But once I seen it on gear, it's done.
That's the one.
If they asked me.
We're on their show.
We're done. It's done. The one to the left. Don't mess this up. The one to the left. It'll sell more. Trust me.
Yeah. It looks good on a hoodie.
It looks good on the hat and
the hoodie. And the hat, yeah. Michael Block's at the goal. He's playing, right, at Colonial today?
Yes. And I was looking for a leaderboard update and didn't see one. So I'm like, maybe they haven't teed off yet?
I didn't see anything from Memorial. Memorial's next week down in Columbus. I didn't see anything if he was invited to that.
I have not seen anything either. I saw the U.S. Open list, obviously Tiger not on it.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a year for him.
Tragic.
I think Sergio qualified for the U.S. Open at some regional.
He did. He shot 66-66 last weekend.
Yeah, some guy, Sergio, shows up at some Muni course and qualifies for the U.S. Open.
I would have thought.
He didn't have an exempt.
When did he win the Masters? That's not that long ago, is it? Doesn't that give you a bigger exemption?
It should.
I guess it does. Obviously, it doesn't, or else he wouldn't be playing some Muni.
Look, you want the best in there. If he's shooting good, then let him in. He might win it. He might run away with this thing.
All right. He won the Masters in 17. So I bet it's got a 5-year exemption. That's what I'm thinking. So that's why he had to qualify. 5-year major exemption would be my guess. All right. So Block said the most famous person he heard from was Michael Jordan. Gibbe wants to know, who's the most famous person you've ever gotten a call or text from, former teammates and coaches notwithstanding?
So Michael Block said he's gotten thousands of messages, hundreds of texts. Phone can't handle everything. But that Michael Jordan reached out to him and was like, hey, congratulations, love your game. Like, this is what's great for golf. And he had this whole moment where he, like, it was at the press conference before this weekend's tournament. And he's like, you know, Michael Jordan, like, that's my hero.
Sure.
I had actually a moment like that. Deion Sanders reached out to me.
Via
Twitter. He was like, it was after the Alabama game.
Sure.
So after I picked it off and ran it out, I put on Twitter, like, I was trying to be – I seen Deion's highlights, and I thought I was Deion.
Yeah, I remember that.
He responded and said, Prime would have did exactly what you would have did, except I would have scored. I said, you right about that.
You right about that, yeah.
But that was like a hero. That's who I looked up to. That's who every DB looked up to. So when he responded and said that, I was like, yeah, I made it. I done made it.
I'm sure you know this, but what he was doing at – 19 and 20 at Florida State to cultivate Prime.
Yeah.
His brand. Mm-hmm. He looked around and said, none of these defensive players make any money. None of them have endorsements. I got to come up with stuff.
Yeah.
And he would have, when I was in Tallahassee, we would pull up like this archive video of his press conferences that he would have. They played Auburn in a Sugar Bowl in like 88 or 89. Mm-hmm. He is in this interview thing. They had a receiver named Lawyer Tillman.
Yeah.
And he would stand up there and say, you tell the lawyer the judge is coming for him. Like, he did stuff like this when no one was doing this, man. And then he backed it all up. He had like
bulletin board material. That was
didn't care.
That was and the best thing about here. He
and Bowden didn't care either, because Bowden realized it was good for the kid he was trying to recruit. Like, to empower somebody like that, it was good that everybody would benefit from it. So he encouraged it. So, like, he not only is maybe the greatest pure cover corner in the history of the sport, but he's also one of the most influential in terms of the branding of players other than quarterbacks and receivers and running backs. Like, he flipped all that.
Every DB want to be like Deion, just from the field swag to the confidence to the way he talked, the way he walked.
bandana, the wristbands.
Everything.
He wore a headband around his neck.
I did that same thing in high school because he definitely put a stamp on this game. It's no wonder that it's a bunch of kids that want to go to Colorado and play for him. I mean, to get a chance to play for Deion, that's something you dream about.
I played small school nothing quarterback in Montana.
Yeah.
You want to know the face mask I used?
Oh.
It's not a quarterback
face
mask.
I'm about to say, you can't do that, actually. They would have
right
told,
here.
They would have told us, you play quarterback. You can't do
you
that.
You can't do that.
Yeah, you got to be able to see.
I want that one.
That's funny.
That's the one I want.
That
right
is
there.
Actually really
just
funny.
One, right here for Prime. Love. He was the man, absolutely the man. That is pretty good. I got a call from Jack Nicklaus once. That's probably my answer to that.
That doesn't suck.
It was Memorial stuff. Like, I got to know him a little bit just through the Memorial tournament. So that was probably the most famous. There's some good ones. How about you, Gibby? LeBron?
No.
Hey, no. He's your boy. BT found that picture of you chumming up with LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron go way back.
Is there been a picture that's been posted recently?
Yeah. It's of you, Bron, and another Mr. Bishop posing. And you look really happy to be sitting next to LeBron.
Yeah, I was sitting because I had just gotten my ACL surgery, and I'd just gotten, like, cleared.
Big smiles for everybody.
I didn't know y'all went way back.
Well, now he's got all this hatred in his heart for LeBron.
Do you really?
Huge.
He left me twice. Yeah, left me once. Shame on me.
Ignore the
– left you twice. Shame on you.
No champions don't mean anything.
Even if he gave me you the best year.
So. Yeah, but you said you weren't leaving.
He never said that.
He did.
The second time
he came back, he goes, I'm here to stay.
Well, of course, that's what they say. Everybody says
Gibby
that.
Gibby likes taking all these things.
Yeah, you got to take it with a grain of salt. No, listen, you got to understand that this is a business.
I totally understand.
Okay,
then don't say it. Just be like, I'm coming back here.
My guess is
being paid to win a championship. We'll see what happens after that. Okay.
I don't know, I'd have respected you a lot more for it.
You're going to scold him even more.
You're going to sit there with spite in your heart. Wrong. I would have respected it more had he just not said it.
I don't recall him saying that. Do you?
Don't recall it either. But I think.
I can tell you he did.
All right. Who was yours? You probably got a call from like Axl Rose or something in your freewheeling DJ days. Station promotion rock band days.
I had bands actually come to my house, like with the tour bus, and get out and perform and then just party all night
like
at my
you
house.
You too?
Must be nice.
No. The band Blessed Union of Souls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
literally, we did a station show, and I was like, hey, we were backstage, and someone was like, hey, it's Gibbs' birthday, and we're tapping kegs at like midnight, and they're like, what's the address? Gave it to him. Tour bus showed up in the middle of Lakewood on a side street.
Good
bus,
Lord.
The band got out. There were a bunch of roadies with them.
Oh, they're from Cincinnati.
Yeah, we had a big old party. there were a couple other bands that did that.
That is awesome.
I got a phone call. So I was an intern at Q104 when I started for the great Larry Morrow, who's one of the he's an icon in the radio industry. He's in the National Radio Hall of Fame and was a big proponent of rock and roll coming to the city of Cleveland and Detroit back in the day. And, I was his intern, and he reached out. This was my junior year. He said, I got an opportunity for you. Wanted to see if you might be interested in an internship, like on a national level. And I said, sure. And he goes, all right, well, I'm working on some things. I got a guy that might need someone and blah, blah, blah. And I got a phone call in my apartment, and my roommate picked it up, and he answered, and thank God he was sober. He literally looked over, and he goes, Casey Kasem's on the phone for you. And I was like,
that's a specific voice.
I was like, no. He goes, no, I'm pretty sure Casey Kasem's on the phone. And Casey and Larry were longtime friends, and Casey was looking for an intern for the weekly Top 40.
Oh,
and
gosh.
The only reason why I didn't get it is because I didn't live in L.A. I was willing to relocate, but they were a little worried that me coming all the way out and paying my own way and that, you know, there could be issues. And it was just like probably an easier logistical standpoint, they went with someone locally. But it came down to me and someone else. And I had a couple calls with Casey Kasem.
That's fantastic.
So,
all right.
From a phone call, that's, yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right, you want to do the quarterbacks next? Or do you want to do that at 2?
I feel like we should do it at 2 o'clock because we're going to need a little more time.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll flip-flop a couple things. We'll do a short segment here.
All right, very good. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, welcome back into Cleveland Browns Daily. Experience full throttle family fun at Monster Jam, where world-class athletes and their 12,000-pound monster trucks tear up the dirt in wide-open competitions of speed and skill. It simply put, the most action-packed motorsports experience for families in the world today. It returns to Cleveland Browns Stadium on Saturday, June 3rd. For more information, go to clevelandbrownsstadium.com. Coming up here in about 10 minutes, we'll get into the top 75 quarterbacks for Bill Connolly. Also a mailbag day, so tweet us your questions at Browns_daily. The best questions, as per Gibbe, get answered rather at 2:30. I want to run by some of this Browns rookie class for you. Early, Tillman looks good. He looks good just running around. Big body, impressive athlete.
Yep.
It's now become kind of a crowded wide receiver room.
Yes, it has.
What impact can he have in year one?
Well, I think the difference between him and that he has over all of these other wide receivers is that he brings an attitude to himself. You know, he's a very physical wide receiver. And not to mention, in the red zone, he's a huge jump ball target. I mean, I've seen a clip that the Browns posted a couple of days ago where, you know, he climbed over somebody, caught the ball, and took up the field. So I think he brings that aspect. He's very aggressive. Obviously, he's a big body wide receiver. Yes, DPJ is big, but this guy is that as well. And on top of that, he jumps over people to catch the ball. So I think that's where he'll find his niche at.
Yeah, hype, really great from in terms of a high point situation. Siaki Ika is the one who's got to go, right? If you had to pick one guy in this class, it's got to be a dude.
Yeah.
It's currently constructed. It's got to be him, right?
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to be plugged into that starting lineup in this 4-3 defense, the edge is pretty solidified. Za'Darius Smith stays healthy. Myles Garrett is going to have a double team. Dalvin Tomlinson, already we know what he can do. If him and Za'Darius is paired up on the same side, they already have that chemistry from playing with each other in Minnesota. So Ika will be the one that has to free up Myles Garrett. How does he free up Myles Garrett? Well, a big 335-pounder like him, they say he has a lot of pass rush ability that's like hidden under his game. So if he brings that out and forces the double team off of Myles Garrett, his stats might not show that he gets the sack, but he's helping Myles Garrett out in a huge way. And I think that's what they're going to be depending on, is that he uses his big body and uses those pass rush skills to get Myles Garrett off of the double team.
Originally an LSU guy and then went to Baylor with Dave Aranda. Mm-hmm. And followed him there. So that's a little bit of the pedigree on Siaki Ika. I want to ask you about the two Buckeyes. Let's start with DeJuan Jones, Big Thanos. He's just a monster of a man.
Yes, he is.
I mean, and you're handing him to one of the greatest offensive line coaches in the history of the sport. Like, if he's engaged and dialed in, there's a lot there.
He'll be a dude. I mean, you know, that's the thing. I think that when you look at DeJuan Jones, you know, the big question mark with him is his ability to stay in shape and stay engaged in football, like you say. But with Bill Callahan as the offensive line coach, obviously we've seen the products that he's put out on the field.
Yeah.
They've all been successful. It's going to take an offensive line coach that cares and can see the bigger picture, because a lot of these players come into the league and they only see themselves in a certain light. Well, Bill looks at him and can say, listen, you could be one of the best tackles in this league, period. And It's up to him to follow the plan that Bill comes up with, getting with that strength staff, making sure that he stays in shape, making sure that he watches his weight. He's already a good basketball player, so he has good feet, which is something that you need at that tackle position. And he's a big guy. He makes contact and gets his hand on a lot of these DNs. It's dead right now.
Yep.
And that's the thing. He's got to work on that kick slide, make sure that he gets the big enough kick slide. Going up against a Myles Garrett or Za'Darius Smith is going to make him better, because both of those guys have certain moves that they do that makes them elite. You know, obviously Myles Garrett has one of the best jumps get offs on in the game of football. Yeah. And then Za'Darius Smith is one of those bully guys that's very physical that get off of his blocks like that. So DeJuan Jones will get a good share of seeing speed and seeing power, that he'll be molded, that when his number is called to go in that game, he should be able to excel, because he's going against two of the very best DNs in this league in practice every day.
Oh, boy, you want to talk about a crash course in the NFL. He's going to get one. And you know, this is – I said this when they drafted Whipler in the sixth round. Like, Ohio State was pretty heartbroken that he decided to go pro.
Yes.
And the thinking around there was, he comes back, he's a second-round pick.
Yeah.
In the middle of that offensive line. So that could be a steal too. And he had a fantastic rookie minicamp.
Yes, he did. He's one of the brains. You know, he's very smart. The only thing is, you know, with that size, he has to get a little bit stronger. But I think that, like you alluded to, you know, if he would have came back another year, you know, and got bigger and a little bit more stronger in there and stout in that system with Ohio State, he for sure would have been, you know, either a second or maybe even a first-round pick. I mean, you know, Ohio State has produced some really incredible centers the past few seasons from Ohio State that's done well in the NFL, with Corey Linsley and all the other guys that's there. So,
I mean, Billy hasn't been great in the NFL, but he was a first-round pick.
He was a first-round pick. Pat Elflein was a first-round pick. It's a few of them. So, I think that now that he's with Bill Callahan again, he's going to get the best out of him. He's going to get stronger and being in his league, which is interesting, because when you're in the NFL, a lot of the times you trim down and you really want to be able to move. But if he's going up against, like, Siaka Ika all the time, he's forced to get bigger and stronger. He'll learn that system, understand how to check protections, understand where things is coming from, because at the center position, you have to be smart. You have to be able to see everything and call everything out, make sure everybody's all on the same page. And I think that's one of the areas that he excels at the most, is because he's very smart.
Certainly is. And he was, I mean, at one point, Callahan singled him out and said, to show an example of how to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a head start when you have that type of acumen already. All right, coming up next, we'll take a look. Bill Connell of ESPN put out his list, top 75 quarterbacks of the 2000s. These are always fun to argue about. We'll do so coming up next. You'll listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
When a medical mistake causes you injury, call the medical malpractice attorneys at 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk is a proud partner of your Cleveland Browns. All right, this is from ESPN's Bill Connolly. He's a good dude. He's a good friend. He does this. He usually does two of these lists every spring, and every spring for what I do in the morning, I thank him and say thank you, because this is content that I can run with for a week when you do these things. So he did his top 75 college quarterbacks of the 2000s. So when I talked to him about this week, I said, all right, so first of all, I need to know criteria. Okay, how are you coming up with this? Because when you think about college football quarterbacks since the year 2000, there are many one-year wonders, one-year comets. There's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of guys that were 2- and 3-year starters. There's guys who won the Heisman. There's guys who led their teams to national championships. How do you balance all that? And his answer was that I take a little bit of all of it. I take a little bit of the stats, a little bit of the individual Heisman achievement, a little bit of the team, you know, team achievement, and I come up with this. And he acknowledges that there's no perfect way to do this, because it's very difficult to compare a 4-year starter versus a 1-year comet. For example, you know, just from a Ohio State perspective, and I'm not suggesting he should be number one, Dwayne Haskins' 1 year at Ohio State was a supernova.
Yes.
I mean, that's 50 touchdowns. I mean, that'd never been done. So that's kind of the tricky thing when you're looking at this list. So his top five was number 5, Joe Burrow, number 4, Tim Tebow, number 3, Vince Young, number 2, Cam Newton, and number 1, Baker Mayfield. He had Deshaun Watson 6th on the list. So if I were to put this question to you,
it's just laughable.
Would you have as your number 1 quarterback of the 2000s? And before you give me that, how would you weight it? Would you weight individual single season of greatness, Heisman, national title, accumulator? How would you do it?
So I think that to me, the number one thing I would think of is I would look at stats, look at statistics. The next thing I would look at is team success. Mm-hmm. Because I think if you have a good quarterback in college, that's like half the battle. Like
you got
one of them good quarterbacks, you're automatically should be in the top going for a championship. So I would look at that. Championships is one. And then Heisman obviously would play a part because that means you're the best of that whole year. Mm-hmm. So that will hold a lot of weight as well. I think those would be the three things that to me, the stats, Heisman, team success.
Okay.
That would be the top three things that I would look at.
Yeah, I think we're probably similar in that regard. So then with that criteria, we'll get to where the Buckeye guys landed on this list, but because there are some real grievances down the list. But in terms of your top, what would it look like?
Oh, I would. So I would have Cam Newton, probably Tim Tebow, Joe Burrow, Vince Young, Deshaun Watson would be my top 5.
So Cam Newton is number 1 for me. Mm-hmm. He is the answer to the question of if you were to start a college football program and you could take any player of the 2000s,
Cam
number
Newton.
1, you would take Cam Newton.
Yep.
The team that he went undefeated with at Auburn, and this is the separator between him and Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase did not play for Auburn.
I agree.
Okay. Jefferson did not play for Auburn.
His second best player was with Trey Mason?
You tell me. I can't.
See, I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
You can't tell me. I don't know.
I have no idea
either. He took a program that had never sniffed that and won a national title and was perfect. Cam also had moments. The LSU game. Where they can't tackle him.
Receiver.
They're not league guys. I want to say, was Michael Dyer on that team maybe? The running back?
Let me look.
He's down like 28-3 at Bama.
This is the 2010 team.
You don't know him. It's not dudes.
You don't know him.
No. It's not Jesse Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. It's not
Terrell Zachary.
No. See, you don't know him.
Cody Burns.
You don't know him.
Nope.
Darvin Adams.
Nope.
D'Angelo Benton.
Nope.
Trevon Reed.
I know him. That's my boy.
there's nobody there.
I know T. Reed. Yes, sir.
There's a running
Michael
back.
Michael Dyer.
He was a 5-star.
Yeah.
He ended up going back to Arkansas or something. I think played at Arkansas State. But he was their best, most known player other than Cam. Cam came in 1 year and was the dude. So I had Cam 1 on this list. I had Deshaun Watson 2 on this list.
Put him 2?
I'd put him 2. He was the best player.
Over Tim Tebow?
I would. He was the best player on 2 national championship teams. Or 1 national championship team. He was the best player in 2 national championship games, both against Bama.
Did he win the Heisman?
He did not.
Okay, that's the nod I got Tim.
Which Tebow. And that's fine. I mean, this is splitting hairs.
That's your list. Go ahead.
This is splitting hairs. I would go Deshaun 2. I think Deshaun Watson is the most important college football player of the last decade, because if him going to Clemson took Clemson from Clemsoning to let's win national titles. That's what Watson did. He elevated all of that. I would have Burrow 3. I'm sorry, I'd have Tebow 3. I'd have Burrow 4. Burrow has the best single season mm-hmm. in the history of the sport. 6,000 yards, 60 touchdowns. It'll never be touched. I think it's fine that Baker's in the top 10 somewhere, and I think he should be somewhere in the 5, 6, 7 range. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all argumentative at that point where he's going to be.
So you take
but the thing that's hard with Baker is –
like, did he ever
here's what he gets credit for. Him and Lincoln Riley single-handedly resuscitated Oklahoma.
Yep.
He was absurdly accurate and incredible from a stat accumulation standpoint.
Yep.
The thing that hurts him is what is his moment at Oklahoma? So the biggest game
– flag at OSU.
Probably that. That. And the fact that he always beat Texas.
Yeah.
But probably planting the flag at OSU is probably the moment. But, like, in that national semifinal against Georgia, he was not great.
No.
And he threw a pick.
And that's my thing. Like, he didn't – they didn't even win a game in the semi.
In the CFP.
At all.
And they were up big.
I don't understand how he got one. Like,
they were up big.
At least Vince Young went to the championship game. Cam went to the championship. Tim, Joe, Deshaun, all these guys went to the championship game, either won it. Actually, I think they all won it, actually. So that, to me, is why the Baker at one is head scratching.
Like, for me, Matt Leinart should be ahead of Baker. He won the Heisman and the national championship at USC.
Did Carson Palmer win?
No, he didn't win a national title. He won the Heisman.
What about Trevor Lawrence?
Lawrence didn't win a Heisman, but Lawrence should be high too.
Robert Griffin III.
He's a one-year guy. One-year
winner. Marcus Mariota.
Not ahead of Winston. Winston should be ahead.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson's a little bit like Manziel.
He's number eight on this list, by the way.
He's a little bit like Johnny. Mm. Like, there's a short window of greatness.
Yeah.
It's this little.
He was electric.
And he lifts people. Yeah. Johnny was electric. Like, you lift people up for sure. Buoyed up a program, no doubt. So they have four Buckeyes on the list. CJ is. So how would you rank the Buckeyes since 2000? Mm. So they have CJ 20, Justin Fields 29, Troy 33, JT Barrett 66. Haskins didn't make this list. Terrell Pryor didn't make this list. And Braxton Miller did not make this list.
The Braxton one is a crown.
I went nuts on the Braxton
one.
That's
a crown.
I lost it.
Braxton,
because guess who made the list? Denard Robinson. I'm going to tell you something.
That.
There's not anybody on the planet who would have picked Denard Robinson over Braxton Miller.
Nah. That bum beat the Browns in Jacksonville.
Braxton Miller
was an awful day.
A two-time Big Ten MVP.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't get hurt before 14 – he probably wins it a third time.
He probably would have won the Heisman that year, to be honest.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, you guys don't lose to Virginia Tech with him.
No.
So, but I don't know if you beat Bama with him because he couldn't stretch the field.
That's a good point.
The way Cardale did.
He could throw the deep ball.
But you had to be.
But the thing is, he would have, because what is Alabama's kryptonite? Mobile quarterback.
Yeah, he would have been that.
So he would have been that. I don't know if Devin Smith would have been. Well, I guess Devin Smith still was catching fade. The question is the four quarterbacks.
Braxton not on the list. Criminal.
Braxton should be on this for sure. And the thing about these quarterbacks is the four that's listed, it's outside of JT. None of them won a championship. And you can't really get – JT was hurt for the championship. So.
Right. Troy won the Heisman.
So Troy – but Justin to me was like – probably one of the best quarterbacks to ever come out of Ohio State.
Justin Fields is the best quarterback I ever seen play at Ohio
State. That's what I'm saying.
He would have been number one on my list.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't get here in time. I covered the Florida-Ohio State national title game, but I was on the Florida side. I was in Florida at that time.
Yeah.
So I didn't cover Troy that year.
Yeah.
I was covering Florida. So I just saw him in the national championship game, and that was – they got overwhelmed.
It was brutal.
Yeah. But I think Justin's ahead of CJ.
Yeah, I agree. I had an argument about this. Somebody was like, I asked people for one season, who would you take, CJ or Justin? And at the beginning of the year, everybody said CJ, hands down. And I looked at him and I said, I would absolutely take Justin Fields. And my reasoning being is that defense for Ohio State, sorry to my alumni that's listening, that defense for Ohio State has handicapped Ohio State for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay? That's fair to say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Justin Fields took that same defense and went at least to the national championship game. CJ had this almost – they had a different scheme, but he had the same kind of players on that defense. They lose, what, three games?
Well, he lost to Michigan. CJ never beat Michigan.
Two games that
CJ
year.
Never beat Michigan. He never won the Big Ten.
So, that's to me – Fields is number one.
People forget about Fields' game against Clemson when he threw for six touchdowns.
Yeah.
And he was great in 2019 against Clemson when all those things had to go against him, Fields was.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost that close game where there was 10 things that had to go their way for them to lose.
Did you know that JT Barrett has as many rushing touchdowns as Ezekiel Elliott?
Okay. I mean, Urban got him eight a year from the two.
I can't believe that.
I can.
He
ran that quarterback keep out of the gun I mean, how many times did you call that?
Bo, don't get me wrong. I sat there and I watched it.
I mean, I like JT, but my gosh.
I never thought he had as many touchdowns as Zeke.
4-year starter. Urban was a trust guy. So if he doesn't have to risk a handoff, it's the same thing he did with Tebow at Florida.
True.
If Tebow had 20 touchdowns when you're rushing, like if he didn't have to hand it to somebody, he wouldn't. His favorite play call on third and anything, third and one, was quarterback run.
Yeah, it was like
that's what he did.
That was like the dilemma him and Cardale had.
Yeah.
Like Cardale's like,
I'm not running.
That's not my game.
Yeah. So, no, that doesn't surprise me. I think I would have Fields. I think Fields and Troy should both be ahead of CJ. I'd have them both ahead of him.
Okay. I wonder why they – it must be for statistical reasons why CJ is in front of them too. Because
I just think it's prisoner of the moment. The last time somebody saw him play was against Georgia, and he was great. He's a 2-time Heisman finalist.
Okay.
There are accomplishments. I'm just saying.
That's a participation trophy.
I agree. Fields never won a Heisman, never won a Natty.
Troy did.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'd have Justin the highest, Troy second, and then
CJ.
Then CJ. I would have Braxton ahead of JT, too.
So you would you have CJ ahead of Braxton?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
Me either.
I would have Braxton. I'd have Braxton third among the Buckeyes. You know who's getting slept on a little bit here is Terrell Pryor.
Now, that's the one thing, and he actually came out and said this. The one knock on JT, and Terrell Pryor brought this up, and I don't know if he was throwing shade or he was mad. I don't know why he said it, but he did. He said, in my career, it's one thing that I can say, as a Buckeye, I've never been blanked in the game. And I was like, yeah, JT did lose to Clemson.
31-0.
31-0. So that's the one thing with Terrell Pryor, said he never got blanked.
Yeah.
And I was like, interesting.
Terrell Pryor is one of the great what-ifs in college football history because he picked the right place from a winning standpoint and the worst place from an offense standpoint. If Terrell Pryor would have been able to play in Urban's spread option, or if he had gone to Michigan and played with Rich Rodriguez – people don't remember this. Like, those trestle offenses were under center on first down, hand to Beanie Wells or Brandon Sain or Boom Heron. What do we got? Second and short, under center. Second and eight, shotgun. Good luck. Make a play. It was the most predictable.
Have a kicker that can hit 60-yard field goals.
They could not coach offensive football at all.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bad. But the defense was good,
though. Oh, my God. The defense was stupid good.
And Beanie Wells.
What's the problem? I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah.
I know
the defense
you don't.
Was crazy good. Yeah. Malcolm Jenkins. I mean, they have threes. Yeah. I mean, they had a squad.
Man.
But, yeah. That's
now,
so, yeah.
And now it's completely flipped, and we still complain.
Yeah, still. All right, still time to get your mailbag questions. Tweet them to us. At Browns_daily. We will get to those here in about 10 minutes or so. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
I'm telling you guys, here's something you're going to want to pay attention to when this season comes around. Going to be a target for Deshaun Watson. There's familiarity there. You like the look of him. It's Jordan Akins. Here's his media availability from yesterday.
How much was just the draw of getting back with Deshaun that led you to come here?
Just the chemistry that we had. You know, I want to pick up where we left off in Houston. And, you know, the team camaraderie, me and Deshaun, we had a great chemistry, like I said. And I like the way he plays the game. The play is always alive when he's on the field. And, you know, I love to play with a quarterback like that.
He seems to, especially in the red zone, has a knack for finding the tight end. Where does that come from in your mind?
I think it's just his awareness and his belief in his tight ends. You know, he trusts us as we trust him. And, like I said, the play's never dead with Deshaun. So, you know, a big body. You know, sometimes it's easier to bump and get open in the red zone. And when we do, Deshaun ends up finding us.
Did he being here influence your decision to come here?
Yes. You know, I can say yes to that. And honestly, I just was looking, you know, to be somewhere that I was wanted and had great team camaraderie. And, you know, when I got here, when I came to visit here, it was a perfect fit for me. And, you know, like I said, I'm reunited with Deshaun, and that's a good thing for me.
Kind of an added bonus.
Yeah, it's definitely a bonus for me.
Jordan, when you saw him on December 4th down in Houston, his first game back, what did you see compared to the guy that you played with?
He definitely was rusty. He had to had to get back in his rhythm. His rhythm was off. I could tell that his footwork wasn't where it should be. And, you know, it just was, it wasn't the typical Deshaun, but, you know, the typical Deshaun beats adversity, and that's exactly what he faced, and he came back and did his job.
It had to be stressful for him that day. He later admitted it was. Did you meet with him before the game?
I met with him after the game, and I told him.
He was on edge?
Yeah, I told him. I told him, great job with battle adversity and, you know, overcome it. You know, it's huge for you to come back and win this game. So you made a statement.
You know Deshaun really well. When he's out here and getting this chemistry going with guys, what are some of the things we're going to see from him when, you know, it's starting to click? What can you see?
Great rhythm throws. Deep ball throw, he's great at that. The defense, he's really good at it. He can read defense, pick apart defense. You know, whether we get the mismatches, he'll find the mismatches. And also, whenever he seems like he's surrounding, he's going down. Some way he pops out. So you got to stay on your feet, stay moving downfield, and be ready to make a play at all times.
You know, last year when he was playing in those six games, there was kind of an education between the other 10 that were playing with him and him playing with them. Sometimes they didn't know what he was doing.
Got you.
You would. Is that a process that they're going to have to marry together?
It depends. I mean, we're here now. We're trying to overcome that right now. You know, that's what OTA is for, trying to get the rhythm down. We're trying to get the way he plays the game. And luckily, I've been with him for 3 years, so I kind of know how to maneuver him when he makes certain moves. But as a team, I think we'll be fine. Like I said, Deshaun, he will find the open guy. And we will make plays for him.
This time of year, is it pretty new to you because it's a new team, or is this close to what you've always done?
The last 2 years, I would say it's kind of similar because I was with the Giants last year, so I had to adjust. That was really my first, you know, adversity as in moving and adjusting to a different team. But this year, I was kind of prepared for it, and I'm more aware of what I had to do. So, you know, I kind of put things in the right place and made the right move, so it was easier for my family and myself.
You feel like there's great opportunity for you here?
I feel like it's a great opportunity, man. Like I said, you know, being reunited with Deshaun and, you know, being able to get a different route tree. You know, in Houston, I was kind of labeled as a catch and run tight end in the flat, but here I'm more down the field. I get to show off my athleticism, you know, in and out of cuts and catches after the run as well.
Jordan, do you feel like even though it's a new system for you, new team, like just the fact that you are with Deshaun and like can learn this with a quarterback you're familiar with, how much of a help is that for you?
It's a big help, man. Deshaun knows me, I know Deshaun. Certain plays when I'm coming across, I learn them from my formation. Sometimes I can just look at him, you know, give him a certain look, and he can kind of signal some of the routes. You know, we have signals from the previous team in Houston. So, you know, he helps me out, you know, and, you know, I help him out, you know, through the air as far as making plays. But the unison on this team is, you know, everyone, the team camaraderie is great. You know, it's definitely different from where I'm coming from. Everyone's on one accord, so that's major in the NFL.
Your connection that you have, is it like an X factor thing that you can't describe, or is there something specific about your games you think that works really well together with him throwing you the ball?
That's a good question. Deshaun, his IQ for football is amazing. His reactions to certain looks are amazing. Me, I play off reactions and instincts. So, you know, I do my job, but at the end of the day, you have to play ball. In some way, Deshaun be on one accord with that, so he'll find you if you find open ground.
Given your non-conventional career path, do you feel like there's still upside? Do you feel like there's doors that can still open?
Oh, there's definitely a lot more that I can bring to the table. Last year was really me just really getting my feet wet. You know, they kind of depended on me in the offense. So, you know, as long as I'm presented with the opportunity, I'm definitely going to overcome. And, you know, I accept any challenge that comes my way, blocking and special teams or making plays downfield.
Watch out for him.
Yeah, he's special. He that big body, and he can definitely get up there and catch some of them passes. He is, with the chemistry that they already have, that right there alone makes him dangerous. And Deshaun Watson, you know, when he gets in those drills where he's doing scramble drill, he's just looking for a guy to chuck it up to. Who better than a guy that you've already played with that you trust that's going to get the job done, especially down in that red zone? I think him and Njoku would be a nice 1-2 punch.
Yeah, he's 13 and a half yards a catch last season. In Houston at the tight end position. So, and a late bloomer, didn't come into the league until he was 26. So, lots to like about that. One thing that I've noticed with just this group of pass catchers, tight ends, receivers, versus even when Odell and Jarvis were at their best, there's some big dudes out there now.
Yeah.
mean, there's real size. I think Deshaun wants that.
Well, you can't. Don't look past because my former teammate is now out there.
Yeah, yeah.
By the name of Marquise.
Oh, dude, Gilbert. He had a day yesterday.
Oh, I know he did.
I'm telling you.
It was to be expected. This is a guy that I watched in practice. When I was in San Francisco and I watched some of the things that Marquise did, I was like, this dude is like a legit wide receiver in this league. And I'm wondering, like, why his stats never amounted to what he was doing in practice.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, but I know when I look out there with the Browns, what they did was they got him his Will Fuller. Without it being Will Fuller, you got a guy that you can't overthrow. You throw that ball deep on them scramble drills or somebody that you want to throw it deep down the field to, if this guy takes off, because a lot of people forget that. Oh, Marquise is an Olympian. So that speed
is
real. Like, you think Tyreek Hill is fast, he's probably faster, which is scary to think of. So when that ball goes up, he's going to be a guy that he can't overthrow. He'll make those plays. And I'm looking for a really good season out of Marquise Goodwin. Now, I'm not saying he's going to sit up here and tell you he's going to get 1,000 yards. That's not what I'm saying.
That's not the role, though.
No, I think he's going to come in. He's going to be the guy that stretches the field. He will be open on some of them deep balls. But if not, at worst, Amari Cooper's going to be very – him and DPJ going to be very thankful to have a guy with that speed because they're going to be able to run their routes and not have to worry about any safety sitting on the routes or even potentially those linebackers might have to fly out of there.
This is amazing. I guess I never – when we signed Marquise Goodwin, I guess I never looked into that track stuff.
Oh, really?
So, we talked about it. So,
it's real. I lived it. So I lived it.
This is another one of those signings that happened, like, in the shadow of the Moore trade and this happened. This came down on, like, a Friday afternoon.
Okay.
And then, like, it wasn't official for a few weeks because I think he was on vacation or out of the country. Like, so you never thought about it. But, like, yesterday I'm like, who? And I look, I'm like, oh,
I remember talking
about a little day.
I was standing on the table saying that him and Paris Campbell was the two free agents that I said that they're not going to break the bank, but they would be a great addition to this room because of the speed that they bring. And I say, obviously I'm a little bit biased because I play with both of those two names that I just said. But Marquise, when I seen him get signed, I was like, that's it right there.
So he won 7 state championships, Texas 5A. State champion in the 100 meters. So you're talking, that's elite speed. 2-time NCAA champion in the long jump. 4-time All-American. He was a member of the 2012 Olympics in the long jump.
He's an Olympian.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, man. We talked all about his pro career, but never dug all the way back to the track stuff that was out there. All right, we'll hit the mailbag coming up next. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
I mean, that video, Tyvus just showed me the video of Marquise in, like, this fastest DB receiver contest.
Yeah, Chad Johnson did a 40-yard dash. It was 40 yards of gold. It was a $1 million prize where he had some of the fastest DBs and some of the fastest wide receivers go at it at a BB&T Center in Sunrise, Florida. It came down to Marquise Goodwin versus Dante Jackson from the Carolina Panthers, and Marquise Goodwin won by 0.05 seconds to win the title.
Yeah, awesome. It's funny. We never talked about that just because we talked about him as a receiver.
We have a lot of guys in that room.
Yeah, they are. There's a lot. What the doctor ordered, though, man.
Emmanuel Acho said, y'all really let Marquise Goodwin con y'all out of $1 million. who didn't think he was the fastest man in the NFL?
That is amazing.
It's some good names. It was on the wide receiver. On the offensive side, they had Ted Ginn, Jacoby Ford, Alvin Kamara, Robbie Anderson, Marquise Goodwin, Kevin Snead, Jeff Badgett, Richie James. Defensive side, it was Dante Jackson, Trey Waynes, Dominique Rogers, Cromartie, Rashard Robinson, Tarik Sinkfield, John Franklin III, Jalen Myrick, and Charles James II.
And with that,
how about that? Mailbag it, Gibby.
Mailbag time. Tweet us at Browns_Daily. We've got a ton to get to. Richie Fox. Tyvus, the best. What's the best advice you could give to these rookie defenders?
The best advice I give to these rookie defenders is learn the playbook. You know, you have the honor and the privilege of coming in under a new defensive coordinator. The guy who knows the playbook and understands the adjustments first will be the ones that can be on this field and can make this roster. If you're a young guy, you weren't drafted. You know, they need guys on this team that they can trust. You know, unfortunately, with the new kickoff rules, it's going to be a lot of touchbacks, so you won't be able to make your impact. One phase of the game of football will be completely eliminated. So now you have to find a way to be effective on punt return, punt block, or on punt as a gunner or something like that. So to me, what gives you value is you know the playbook, you understand the adjustment. You might not be the most talented or athletic guy, but a coach will trust you to go in the game because at least you know where to be, where to line up, and understand how to get other guys lined up. So I think learning the playbook and trying to find some value on special teams is the way.
Bobby Meschling.
Bobby!
Our good friend Bobby. So Bobby sends us about 40 questions a week.
Hey, Bobby!
So we'll get to a couple here. We'll come back to them. Bo, what was your favorite thing about Tyvus as an intern?
The humility after I whipped him in horse to take it like a man and not make a big deal about it. The humility of it all.
Who would have thought that Bo was actually good at horse?
Well.
Why wasn't you like a guard?
Make it rain.
Weren't you a guard in high school?
Like it's too easy.
He was pretty good. He was a quarterback?
You was a quarterback?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did just tell me that. You wore the Deion.
I wore the Deion.
Which is hilarious. Was you wearing 21, too?
10.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice number.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
You got the look. Look at him.
From Bobby Park 2, Tyvus, how'd you become Bo's intern?
So what happened was, it's a very interesting thing. With Urban.
Urban was really smart with this.
Yeah. With Urban as the head coach. You know, during the summer for semester, so I think it's the month of May right now, there's absolutely no classes going on. So Urban had like this job fair thing every year where he bring in we call it Real Life Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. He bring in some guy from a company or something that you're interested in, and he will come in and speak to the team, tell you about the field, the work he does, how you could get into the field. Then after that, after Real Life is over, at the end of the month, he brings this whole job fair. So it's a bunch of jobs, ESPN, Pepsi, all these companies come in, and he makes you come up with your resume. You got to write a resume, come up there, exchange cards, get their cards, stay in contact with them. So in the month of May, after all of that took place, he said, you guys need to get internships. And I'm like, with college, why would we get internships? He was like, no, everybody on the team needs to go find an internship because football for you guys, a lot of you might not go pro, so you need to work on, mm-hmm. you know, the next phase of your life. So everybody's like, okay, everybody got internships. I happened to go to Channel 10 and they were like, yeah, you come be an intern. And Bo was the guy that was in charge. So
not in charge. Moose was in charge.
Yeah, Moose was in charge, but I followed Bo and Dom guys. And Kayla Anderson around.
Yeah,
those
were
the sports department. What happened.
It was fun times.
Tommy Clayco, since you guys were hating pretty hard on the Raising Cane's slaw, is there a slaw that Bo and Tyvus actually do like?
The only slaw I would ever eat is on a Polish boy. That's it.
So let's just be real clear. To me, it doesn't go with that.
Correct.
It just seems like an odd thing to shoehorn into chicken fingers and fries and Texas toast. I actually really like an Asian slaw.
Yeah.
You give me a bit of sliced roasted almonds in there with a little bit of rice wine vinegar, very little cream, just a touch. I like that a lot, but it's nothing. I like slaw on a taco.
I actually like making my own.
Yeah, me too. I like it on a fish taco, a shrimp taco.
Yeah, absolutely.
All of that, I'm for it. I just think it's weird with Cane's.
Well, and tacos as well.
Really good. Fish and shrimp tacos. Slaw looks great on
it. Yeah, for sure.
Bobby wanted Tyvus to tell us where the undisclosed location was. Nathan's girl's mom wants to know.
No.
Nope, Bobby. Wrong.
Sorry, Bobby.
Nope, Bobby, that's how you get banned. Easy.
That's right.
Let's see. I'm looking down. I'm trying to get a few other What are your thoughts on Thursday night football games having no inactive on your 54-man roster and everyone dressed from Love a Dog today?
Everybody dresses?
I didn't hear that.
I didn't either. That is unbelievable. Do they get paid a game check for that? Because he
I mean, that's a big,
that's a big one.
Yeah, that's a problem. I don't think there's no way that that's true.
That's, yeah.
There's no way that everybody – so you telling me 53 plus 10 – no, it's actually more than that. So you're saying about roughly 65 players is going to get a game check. There's no way that they're going to let that happen. Absolutely no way. I think you heard that wrong.
Yeah, I think so too. I had not heard anything about
me
that.
Either. That's new to me.
More from Love a Dog today. What is the – with the new kickoff rule in place, wouldn't it make sense – that in overtime, the kickoff be eliminated. If done for the purpose of safety, extra plays equals more chance for injury.
Yes.
For sure. And then the next step will be, wouldn't it make sense to eliminate the kickoff entirely?
No.
No, that's where they're going.
I know
that's
they are.
100%.
I would like them to do what the XFL do. I think that's the best way. It's safe. It eliminates.
For the people who haven't seen that, tell them what that
so
is.
So the XFL lines them up 5 yards apart from each other, the kickoff and the kickoff return. They let the ball, as soon as the returner catches the ball, boom, you go. And it eliminates the collisions because it's only 5 yards, so you don't got a guy running 40 yards full head of steam running into somebody. It's 5 yards. They're all across. You have to beat somebody to make the tackle, and that's it. It's really very safe, but it doesn't eliminate kickoff. It still allows, you know, that sixth or seventh corner on your roster that's fighting to get a job. It allows him to still have a chance. It allows that wide receiver to still have a chance. These special teams gurus, the Matthew Staffords, the Nate Ebners, Josh Cribbs, like, you're taking away these electric moments that can happen and the impact of a game that special teams have. Because to me, special teams isn't nothing but one play where it's 110% effort. You have to give everything you have to excel at special teams for just one play. And I think you eliminating it by, you know, making it fair catches and touchbacks. If it's really about the safety and you want to keep one of the most electric parts of a game, the opening kickoff, then you would adapt what the XFL is doing.
Well said.
Amen.
Very well said.
Greister. I want to peek behind the scenes. When you have NFL experts on the show, do you feed them questions beforehand, or do they just know all this stuff based off the top of their heads?
We don't feed them anything.
I'm about to say.
We actually will not have a guest on if they want the questions in advance.
I have never in all my years in radio ever prepped a guest on what I'm asking them.
Nope.
In fact, most times I will hit them with something off the wall first to loosen it up a little bit. I have never. I don't even know anybody who has done that.
To be honest with you,
what are you going to ask me?
When I do radio, I really don't even need the rundown. I really sometimes don't even need the rundown. I just pay attention to a lot of stuff that's going on. But no, nobody's ever given me questions beforehand.
No.
I don't think that's – because it takes away the natural feeling, my natural response. And I think for me, I'm an authentic guy. I want you to get to know the real me and understand where I'm coming from. So if I know the question beforehand and I done prep my answer, no, I want you to know exactly how I feel right when he asked me.
Well, and the other thing is like, you would never have anybody on who would need to do homework.
I agree.
We're having people on because they benefit the show and the audience.
Yep. Rapid fire Bobby time. Best concert you've ever been to?
I've only been to one concert in my life, and it was at Ohio State. It was the Big Sean concert. It was free. It was the Icebreaker. Big Sean's my favorite rapper. Best concert I've ever been to because it's the only
concert I've been to.
How about that, Gibby?
My mind is blown. Good night, everybody.
Dave Matthews Band, August of 96, Red Rocks.
One place I haven't seen him there, and I'd love to see it there.
Yeah, that's a scene. Red Rocks is a scene. The Gorge is incredible out west, too. I saw Pearl Jam at the Gorge.
Oh, not too shabby. How many phones have you broken or lost, Bobby?
Never. None. Zero.
I'm not my kid.
When you say broken, what do you mean?
Did you drop it and shatter a screen?
I shattered the back of mine, but I never shattered the screen.
Never the screen. No.
All right.
He's safe. Never. Undefeated on phones.
Most useless thing you know how to do. Final one.
Useless thing I know how to do.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't – I guess as I answer this, then I think I probably do this every day. I am absurdly good at Trivial Pursuit. Ridiculously so.
I hate Trivial Pursuit.
Crush it. Mm-hmm. And I assume, I guess, I use it in what I do every day because it's, you know, memory or whatever.
Yeah.
Probably retaining information.
Probably video games. That's kind of useless, right? But I'm
Which one are you best at?
All of them. Yeah, all of them. You know what's funny? Is actually, I play 2K and Call of Duty a lot. But, like, I don't play Madden like that. I pick it up and play every now and again, and I'm still better than a lot of people because I understand defense.
Yeah.
Like, I actually run it like
What about the people on Madden, though, that have, like, the cheats where they figure out the algorithm?
Yeah, I don't like them.
I don't like them either.
Play the game how it's supposed to be played.
That's right. You know, the college football game's coming back next year.
Yeah.
If you were in it, would you let them use your name, image, and likeness?
So, the thing about that is I hope that I am in it. So they can cut me a royalty check. They need to put the
Hall 2014 of, Buckeyes need to be
why
in there.
Why not? They you got to play with them. Cut me a check.
I take a little. Yeah, that's wonderful. So much more to come. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily brought to you by Ballybet. Coming soon to Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, welcome back into Cleveland Browns. This was fun, buddy.
This was
always is every time I see
it's Uncle Bo. I mean, you always going to take care of me.
I got you. You're my guy. Love doing stuff with you, pal. As always, we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Right? Yes,
be back in the mix in a couple weeks. You have that to look forward to. Have a great and safe holiday weekend, everybody. We will be back tomorrow.
Well, yep, we got a little special show
tomorrow. Special program
tomorrow. New interviews.
Yep, absolutely. So you have that. The Next Level is coming up next. Thanks for listening, everybody. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.